We're here at the Kenny Gallery in Galway speaking with Dean Kelly, who is the curator of the Art of Protest exhibition, which featured in the Galway International Arts Festival this year. Dean, as curator of the exhibition of nearly 40 artists, where did this idea begin and what was the gestation for the exhibition?
It all began with a stamp, believe it or not. We had worked previously with Jim Fitzpatrick, but in the launch last year of his Che Guevara anniversary stamp, that iconic image of the revolutionary leader, it caused such a stir, and it put me in mind of all these other artists that we had worked with over the years that do the kind of work, I suppose, that I'm personally interested in. You know, work that's about something. You know, that led on to I suppose the particular idea of having, what about an exhibition filled with not necessarily controversy for the sake of it, but just examining art about ideas and art about protest. So we settled on Art of Protest. Art of Protest, I suppose, was a working title, but it just seemed to stick then, and it lent itself to a host of artists that we approached. We had, I suppose, the problem, and well, the very good problem. It's not a problem, really. We had the issue, let's say, that almost we compiled a list of desirables, and everyone to a person, save one, was able to partake or to give us work for the show. So it ended up we had the unenviable task of fitting it all in, because I suppose you put feelers out and people say leave it with me, but then everybody came back to say yes, I have something, and that became the collection.
I mean, that sense of curating, I think it's 36 artists,
yep,
altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, consciously in advance, were you aware that you'd be getting 36 different art styles talking about the art of protest? And I think that's what is actually the exhibition's strength here, is the diversity of media, the diversity of format here. Would you talk a bit about that? As a curator, again, bringing these together, these very, very different formats of art together.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we were conscious of having a spread. In other words, I suppose curating who we thought might make a strong exhibition before even they came back to us to say yes, they'd be part of it. So it was I suppose curated even before we knew what we were getting, yeah. If that makes sense. So the mix had to be right. So so we have sculpture, graphics, painting, perhaps not some of the more contemporary media. But it's just the way it fell, I suppose. But we have some artists that bring that into their work as well. But what they ended up, I suppose, giving us were slightly different forms. So it came at us over a period of a number of months. So then the task was, I suppose, to hang it and to mount it.
And we have here, I think, a crossbreed of all 20th century and 21st century artists as well, but not just our works that relate to protest in Ireland. It's an international, it's a reflection on protest internationally.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you could have had myriad, you know, in alternative universes, there's 100 other, you know, there's 1,000 other exhibitions with a different mix. So this is just a cross-section. It's a particular take at a particular moment. For instance, I mean, when in speaking to Robert Balla, I had in mind maybe some civil rights material from the 60s, initially in my head, and then to juxtapose that with something else. But they weren't available. But then Robert says, but I do have this. So we had to kind of go with the flow as well and kind of form it and build it and formulate it as we went along. One important aspect of what I was trying to do, I suppose, was to get a cross section of Irish artists or Irish based artists, but also to get some sort of movement through time. So to tick the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties and into the present, you know, with the year that's in it, we could have had an exhibition filled with Repeal the Eighth only, you know. So it was, I suppose, my intention to get a cross-section of artists and a cross-section of ideas and protests reflected through art through the decades, starting, I suppose, with the 60s and coming to the present day. Now, how we kind of formed the exhibition then was, I suppose, started with a skeleton or a loose structure of some let's say major artists or figures in art and in protest and in Ireland, and then you know, they became kind of bolt holes with regard to, you know, expressions of particular ideas, and then we spread out from there to fill in the gap, so to speak. But like at the end of the day, it's hopefully a good seamless spread of work. So, you know, it would be, you know, it's not in any way favoritism to suggest that, yeah, we started with Jim Fitzpatrick. That stamp really was the kind of initial idea for the show. So Jim had to be in. If Jim said no at the beginning, you know, we'd have been stuffed, or certainly the show would have been a lot less, because that stamp with Che Guevara, that it was, you know, so iconic that it had to be in the show. And indeed, we were lucky enough then to get not only Che Guevara in his red, black and white glory with the yellow star hand painted by Jim, but we got also the psychedelic poster precursor to the Che Guevara image. So that's where we started. And then I suppose what was really hot at the time of when the show was being formulated was the whole repeal campaign. We were in the middle of the referendum campaign, but it hadn't happened yet. So at the time, there was huge controversy over the mural on Project Arts. So Macer was painting it, and it was being not whitewashed, blue washed over, and painted again and taken down again, and there was court orders and there was fuss and whatever, and we got into conversation with the artist, and we said, whatever happens, we have this show coming up. Now it'll be July, so the referendum will be over, and whatever the result is, it'll be history. Mm-hmm. So, and we wouldn't be wading into the middle of the referendum campaign, so we can, not appear to be, you know, biased or showing favoritism. We'll be just recording history at that stage. So he said, leave it with me, I have an idea. So he painted, I suppose, a fantastic three-piece. It's not a mural anymore. It's become a triptych painting, depicting his iconic logo for the repeal campaign and the eventual painting out of it with the blue paint on the side of Project Arts. The only question we had is which way around would we hang it? Would we go from start with the logo and paint it out, or start with the painted out and reveal the logo? But this is the way it was to be hung. So anyways, we can go through each part of the show, but yeah, it started with Jim and it finished with Macer and everything else in between.
Well, even right behind us we see a number of works by artist Mick O'Dea, but even just before that there is a drawing by William Orpin, which is perhaps the earliest item in the entire exhibition, is that right?
Yeah. We were lucky to get the Orpin from a private collection. It represents, you know, on the face of it, where's the protest? But if you go beyond the pencil and on the paper, it is a representation of a Tommy on the Somme. Whether he's an Irish Tommy on the song, we're not 100% sure. We like to think he is. And we had the offer of this piece from one of the, let's say, the ultimate war artists of the 20th century. Orpin did important work on the Somme, and it was so much so that it nearly affected the rest of his career. It hit him so severely that it affected the rest of his life and his work. And he stayed out there so long, it impacted on his career. But Orpin, we had to have it. We said yes, definitely. And then it was the fact that we had Orpin, that in talking to Mick O'Dea about his work, we knew that he had produced his Black and Tans imagery and his Irish Volunteers and his, you know, the other side of the coin of that period in Irish history. So Mick, thankfully, and I think enjoyed taking part and giving us the other side, like I say, the other side of the coin. So we have Liam Mellows, and we have Tommy's, this time not on the Somme, but marching through College Green in Dublin. So, yeah, they make a very nice foil to each other, or juxtaposition, certainly. Yeah, but, and two very fine artists.
And again, looking at some other format or media, right behind us here is a sculpture in bronze, I believe, by John Behan. Again, Dublin artist originally, but living here in Galway for a number of years. Again, curating sculpture as well as part of mixed media works. Again, is this part of a kind of a almost tactile sense that these are three-dimensional objects as well, that, you know, protest or art is something you're surrounded by, you're immersed in, you walk through, it's like almost like a museum display here.
Absolutely. Well, sculpture is always that extra dimension. In more ways than one. So you do have to consider how you're going to light it, where are you going to place it, how are people going to interact with it, move around it. So it is always both more difficult and more interesting to hang, is the wrong word. We're so used to saying hang an exhibition. It's always so much more difficult to, and more challenging and more interesting for that. To host or to display sculptural works. Yeah. And we're lucky to have a number by a whole host of artists. Again, the challenge, the biggest challenge was probably hanging our Toom Babies Memorial banner, I think is the best way to describe it, by Olga Malacco. Olga, the other end of her career, only beginning, she's literally a graduate from GMIT this year. And her piece is in the hall here, if we look at it.
Yeah.
Now it is this 26 feet drop, I think, by 6 foot wide. And it has listed every, I suppose, victim of the Toom Babies scandal. And she worked closely with Catherine Corliss, who provided her the names and any assistance she could give her to produce this work, which was part of her degree show only this year, like I say. Mm. Now, I mean, it's
a remarkable piece. It hangs like a sail, if one can picture that on a ship. Powerful piece.
Yeah. From necessity, we have it kind of draped upwards so people can pass underneath it, but it adds a certain impact. The added kind of frisson with this piece is that she has printed all of the names on what did she call them? Not drop sheets, on protective covers for beds that came out of an industrial school. So they're almost imbued with that added aspect of having come from almost the milieu of the subject.
It's remarkable. I mean, this is exactly of our times, really. And again, in protests, or in terms of protests in recent years, we've had water protests, we've had two mother and baby homes, as we've seen all sorts of reasons or causes that people have been taken to the streets in protest. And speaking about the repeal mural by Maester that we just mentioned a while ago. We're just looking at that item now, and it's juxtaposed next to an item that symbolised that movement as well, but perhaps unintentionally so, and that's the Repeal jumper.
Yeah.
So it's something which has become a powerful icon or a work of art in itself.
Yeah, we wouldn't have displayed it, I think, without having permission. Anna Cosgrove produced this as, I suppose, a very simple, okay, black sweater, white letters, but it became iconic in that campaign. So, yeah, we were lucky enough to be able to show the, I think, the original one as part of this collection.
Something about the, again, public art and protest. Mm. People were wearing the jumper, they were standing beside the mural on the Project Art Centre, but the way this is laid out here is that it's going gone. The symbol is being whitewashed out, as you mentioned earlier. Mm. But yet that was, I think, a failure, an attempt to censor the artwork, because it became as symbolic by its absence, almost by it being there. It was visibly absent on the wall.
Absolutely. I always thought it was, particularly the way it was whitewashed, in just leaving a bare tiny remnant of the thing, you know, it was conspicuous by its absence,
Absolutely. Working through the exhibition, is there other artworks as we walk through that you may want to speak of, or which may grab you as
I suppose
we walk past?
In walking through, we try to lay it out in some way, grouping historical kind of movements or that kind of thing. So immediately in the door after our Jim Fitzpatrick that I said was nearly the first piece that it all grew out of, we got two wonderful paintings from Robert Bella. Brian is behind me here, see, that's other work from Robert Bella. He wanted to show two previously sold works, but out of a collection, or maybe out of two different collections, but they came through Robert, of a fantastic piece of Fidel Castro with the, red flag draped around him and not leaving much else to the imagination. And also a portrait of Michael O'Riordan, who was the head of the Irish Communist Party in the 80s. So that's what he was happy to give us, and I was, in this case, happy to take. Like I say, I had initially thought of his civil rights stuff, but they weren't available. But these then became a fantastic kind of continuation of the Che Guevara idea and the kind of revolutionary artist activist piece. So so Che is looking over at Fidel, who's minding his own business. So that's Robert Bella. And then we were lucky enough to get Rachel Bella, who is Robert Bella's daughter and another fine artist in her own right. I think she's gotten the draftsmanship from her father. So she's produced two pieces allied to each other. This work and it's the very first piece in the show, which deals kind of very viscerally with the treatment of women in the medical sphere, which I suppose has echoes of the Savita Halappanavar incident, tragedy, I suppose, is a better word.
Yeah.
And that was timely as well for, I suppose, the Repeal thing that was going on. So we have a piece in pencil and mixed media and a piece of sculpture, which is kind of so arresting that it became our, while Jim Fitzpatrick, a version of the Jim Fitzpatrick became our poster, this sculptural work by Rachel Bala became the cover of our catalogue.
It's a powerful piece. I think you call it a child's pram or an very much rusty antique doll's pram.
Yeah.
With what you can describe as bowels or entrails.
Yeah. Knitted
organs.
On the one hand, you want to kind of rearrange and touch and see what they're like, but it's kind of, adequately off-putting at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. But internationally as well, also, it reaches out into more contemporary struggles and conflicts that are very much ongoing, like Israel and Palestine as well.
Yeah.
And we see two works here which speak to that as well.
These are by young artist Luke McMullen, otherwise known as Styx. He was a graffiti artist. So we have, I suppose we have masers coming from that street art kind of tradition, and Luke McMullen also. Nowadays, Luke, I don't know, he might still spray walls for all I know. We've only, as it happens, he's quite elusive. He's almost like a Banksy kind of figure. We did meet him once when we had a full exhibition of his work, but he keeps his head down otherwise, you know, but just sends us the work, which we're happy with, as long as he's happy to do it, you know. So we have two kind of, one quite strong image of the suffering in Palestine, I suppose, and another,
and again children are the focus point here. We see young boys here in particular, one very much suffering in pain, another is, I think, bolder, looking straight at the viewer with his hands up in a victory sign, you know, that there is perhaps some sort of resolution, one hopes, to a conflict.
Absolutely. Tied into that, or coming out of that, we have the work of Brian Maguire, major Irish artist. And Brian is a one man touching on various campaigns through his career and through history. He gave us four pieces. We were to have a fifth, but it didn't materialize. But this starts in the 80s with a depiction of Portlaoise jail, where he did a lot of work with the prisoners there. A kind of a stark image of the prison. That's perhaps the 80s. Then into the 90s, or the end of the 90s, he has an image, a separate image of the Irish landscape, which, you know, it's not your typical pretty picture of an Irish landscape. It's a rifle buried in the bog, in his typical expressionistic kind of treatment. Then the next image of his brings us into the 2000s. So we have American hero Rachel Corrie. So we have his depiction of the death of I think she was mown down by a Israeli bulldozer or something in that Palestine or the occupied territories. I'm not quite sure where it happened, but that from that conflict or area of contention. And his most recent image, a kind of bold depiction of Aleppo. War changes its address, Aleppo, he calls it. And this piece is, like I say, a stark depiction of the destruction of, or the desolation in Syria. Not without its own controversy. Brian showed in IMA before a whole collection of this work. It's had impact, let us say.
Yeah. So moving across from Brian Maguire's work, can you tell us or explain what we're seeing right now?
We have some other works by, we've kind of grouped things together here, going from, I suppose, the Palestine-Syria war, other conflicts. Behind us here is a small painting by Paddy McCann, a kind of elusive kind of a figure with the suggestion of a hand, of an arm raised in revolutionary fashion. But perhaps the most significant aspect, or the way you can identify what it's about, is the colours in the background are those of the ANC. So a little bit of a small abstract on the African struggle for justice, I suppose, in the apartheid era. Then that brings us across to another piece by Paddy McCann, this forensic figure, which is kind of ominous and suggests, you know, Yeah, he's very
a figure in the hazmat suits that, they
exactly,
call them. You know, we're used to seeing in our news
crime
feeds,
scene,
crime scene
investigation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a commentary on the contemporary unsettling experience. Other work by Conor McGrady. Beside him, we have the suggestion of they look like security forces, as they used to call them in the north of Ireland, or you know, police, state. Fascistic kind of unsettling
figures in uniform
clearly holding something under the water, let's say. It's suitably ominous and suggests
a very secluded setting, like the woodland,
yeah,
bog or lake kind of setting. Yeah,
so we have that work, and then a slightly earlier work from the 80s or 90s, I think it's from the 90s, by Rita Duffy, touching on the Northern Ireland Bloody Sunday. We have that famous image of the priest shaking his hanky.
Yes.
I think he became Bishop Fall,
yeah,
later.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways,
Bloody Sunday
lifting. Exactly.
Handkerchief.
He had a bloodied hanky that he was waving in front of as they were trying to take the victims away.
Yes.
To some assistance at the time. So we were lucky enough to get some of these. That one comes from a private collection as well. And yeah, Rita Duffy, an important artist we had to have in some fashion as well.
Yeah.
That leads us on nicely, I suppose, to Dermot Seymour. Dermot is a Belfast artist originally. Lives in, luckily, handy enough, he lives in the west of Ireland now, but a major painter as well. To me, he's a surrealist, really. He puts the Irish experience, the Irish countryside, Irish animals, in kind of extraordinary set piece works. So you have who I thought was a jackal or something, but it turns out it's a much smaller, it's a stoat, or it's a something native and much smaller than a jackal, but he has blown it up so big that it suggests a much fiercer creature. And then he has the lowered flag of Northern Ireland. I think this is typical of his work. There are some more upstairs we'll see as well. And it suggests his kind of the topsy-turvy, to me, surreal presentation. It echoes exactly the topsy-turvy, surreal sort of situation of Northern Ireland. So his that treatment in his paintings echoes the political situation. But important to have him. And that leads us on very nicely to Sean Hillen, who is the ultimate collage artist and designer of the 80s, 90s and up to the present day in Ireland. Not, as Sean tells me himself, not the most prolific of artists, but if you studied art history in Ireland at any point on any level, you know about Sean Hillen. A hugely important artist from his Arlantis series, his Troubles series. We were lucky enough to get a couple of pieces from his Troubles series, so they touch on, I suppose, the Northern Ireland 1980s era of protest. So we have a almost comical Frontier Times, where you have one of his own photographs of two men sit relaxing on a bench beside a British soldier doing his rounds, or on the streets of Belfast or Derry or wherever he took the photo originally. And behind that we have a 1950s kitschy advertising piece, and behind that again a page out of a calendar depicting the Alamo in Texas. So, or is it New Mexico? No, I can never remember. Anyways, suggesting anyways the Wild West. So and all presented in his typical collage overlapped style. And that we're lucky enough, that's one of the originals from the 80s. And he's given us a piece right up to the moment. Produced since the let's say the 9/11 disaster, and this piece is in a completely it's Sean Hillen doing Sean Hillen, which is using a John Hind postcard cut out in his typical collage fashion, but this time with a little little iPad screen kind of secreted behind the frame on repeat, showing the collapse of one of the buildings in New York.
I'm glad you pointed it out. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me here. There's a building actively collapsing on a print, or in a collage at least. So the magic behind the scenes, an iPad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just on repeat there, discreetly plugged in. But bringing Sean Hillen up to the present.
Yeah.
And then in the corner we have a painting by Fran McCann, a Belfast painter but based locally here. Normally paints far happier images of musicians and the Irish landscape, but on this occasion it's a figure who's just obviously been shot through, and you can see the exit of the bullet the other side. It's subtly done, but it's kind of a disturbing piece. But touches on what I think to him is a kind of a very, you know, tough memory, as he came out of that Belfast Troubles era. So we were lucky to get the very important protester and artist in his own right, Will St. Ledger, to give us a number of works for this show. He could have given us any number of pieces touching on a whole host of things that he's interested in, protests that he's been part of in the past. He active in gay rights, HIV awareness. He's been active in gay rights, HIV awareness. But what he's given us for this show is a cross-section of his work, a small piece modelled on an enamel plate, which if you look at the bottom, you see, it is an enamel plate, but it's made to resemble a landmine. Originally, Will, a number of years ago now, he buried just under the surface in, he started in a public park and in a playground, just to get the idea of the danger of landmines. I think he got in trouble with parents saying, "Wow, how dare you put landmines in my kiddies playing here? And it frightened them and whatever." But that he made exactly his point, because what about children in conflict zones where there's real landmines to be worrying about, not an artist making a statement. So very powerful work, but very simple. Much more recently, Will, before the referendum on repeal of the Eighth Amendment, he created these silhouettes of women traveling with suitcases in hand, ready to go on the boat, I suppose, to England, as it would have been, and to travel, and kind of quite powerful silhouettes in life size that originally had appeared along the roadside at bus stops, and they just popped up along the West Coast and in Donegal and in Dublin, and they were kind of like life size impactful pieces touching on the right to travel, in inverted commas, but I suppose the fact that Irish women had to travel in order to avail of abortion services, etc. And as I say, he's active with a group, ACT UP, which campaigns for gay rights and HIV awareness and healthcare, etc. So he's given us some of what he calls his pay stops, which appeared mostly in Dublin but around the country, on hoardings, basically campaigning for on various topics, but particularly in for gay rights. One of the hottest current, I suppose, topics affecting people is the whole issue of housing. So, you know, we couldn't have done this properly without reflecting that area of protest. Primarily a printmaker, Shane Crotty, did produce a print which he called an Affordable House 2018. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek piece based on kids' Lego, building, I suppose, what he suggests is the only house that you could afford was one made out of Lego. So, yeah, while it has humour in it, it's actually very tough, on the button, on the money piece, reflecting, I suppose, a lot of people's experience. So we have this Duplo Lego house with its inhabitants.
And absolutely reflective of this term modular housing, and these terms that were solutions that were never solutions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fast builds that take longer to build than ordinary houses.
Yeah.
And things like that. Also touching, I suppose, on development or the lack of it, or the whole thing of dereliction, is this interesting piece by Jennifer Cunningham. She had, of course, a major show in the festival this year, but she, we're happily able to get a piece from her with her normal, slightly, floating figures, people without
like an eerie kind of fairy tale.
That uncanny, I think is the term she uses.
Okay.
The sense of the uncanny, that slightly I can't think of the right word now, but
but again, these are recognizable sites in Galway, derelict sites.
Derelict,
in this instance, again, children figures dancing and playing in them.
Yeah, these kind of waifs and strays, almost. Mm. I always think her paintings have often children, often kind of with a sense of curiosity, with it, but also a kind of an eeriness about them, I suppose. Mm. So they appear again here. Mm-hmm.
So one trait, or at least one item in the exhibition, is within an art of protest, is an artwork of an artist who is a protester, and that's Margaretta Darcy.
Yeah, we had to have Margaretta involved in some way, shape, or form. Her own work is maybe not appropriate for a show like this. I don't know how we would have brought her on board herself, but we at least had to have, I suppose, a depiction of her. So another way to include her was to get portrait of Margaretta. So in this case, we're lucky enough to get Joe Shocknessy's amazingly composed, wonderful photographic portrait of Margaretta. The story behind this one is, I kind of went looking for this, in that we needed to have, you know, a depiction or an image of Margaretta. I think I started talking to Jane Talbot about, you know, what could we do. You know, indeed, did she have any she has photographic work as well, did she have a portrait of Margaretta? She's worked closely with Margaretta on all sorts of campaigns. She didn't, but we thought, in chatting about it, I said, I must ask Joe Shocknessy. So I asked Joe, he sent actually a couple of, he said, I'll have a dig, which is what he normally says. You know, he'd go through his photographs to see what he'd have. He pulled the first couple he pulled out were good, they were great. You know, but he said, leave it with me though, don't use those, because I think I have something else. I have something else. So he was working back through time, and he went to the right disc or the right external drive or whatever, and he found an image, this fabulous image of Margaretta. He said, but he was describing this to me before I ever saw it, and he was saying, she's in an old, that old orange jumpsuit that she was on. I don't know what, you know, you mightn't want it. I said, no, that's exactly what we want. That is exactly what we want. She said, ah, sure. You know, she had this on her. She'd only got out of jail. I said, that's perfect. That's perfect. It has to be in. So before I nearly knew we had to have it before ever we saw it. Mm. So then when the image came through, I said, oh my God. It's, now, it came out of a series of these things. So it was like, oh, which one do you pick? But this image of Margareta, it's like a Renaissance, you know, painting, the way it's composed. And she's unusually still and quiet and, like I say, composed in the composition, with surrounded by her books and her things in her own place.
It's a remarkable piece, and as you say, so well composed. And there's even an artwork in the photograph, a painting of Margareta with a sign that says "No War Front." Is that it? No War Front in Ireland, or War Port. So we play on the airport.
Yeah, No War Port in Ireland, I think.
Yeah. It's a remarkable image. Yeah.
So, we have a few other pieces, I suppose, that might finish off this little walk around. In front of us, there's a large kind of general piece on a kind of graphic illustrative piece by Mario Sugi. You know, while most of the artists involved are Irish in this show, we also have, I suppose, some Irish-based artists. So Mario has done a lot of work in this kind of, you know, quite poppy, illustrative, impactful style. So his kind of screaming, shouting, protesting figure was an obvious one to include. But we also have the very fine, in some ways and not in other ways, kind of arresting figure of Donald Trump in his Make America Great Again red hat by the young artist Shane Berkery. Shane, this is a print that he produced for us because the original unfortunately wasn't available. We just missed out on the chance to get that, but he gave us this this print of his. Yeah, it's, you know, love him or hate him, he's an icon.
I think no exhibition and protest today could perhaps exclude him.
Exactly.
As much as he might want to.
Yeah. So we have "Make America Great Again," by Shane Berkery, and I suppose I might just take you upstairs. The last little section in the show that I can show you, as we pass Dolores Lyon's repeal banner. She has a very fine piece downstairs called "Ironing for Ireland," as well, which depicts that banner on an ironing board being ironed for a protest, but of course touching on women's roles and repeal and all of those things. We have a very large painting by Mike Flannery, better known, I suppose, for his seascapes, but he got very involved in the water protest. Shell to Sea, and a number of other protests. So here we have a very large piece with, now, slightly dated, and it's amazing how these things date. Given a couple of years, a good number of the cast of characters here have gone to one side or retired or gone off the scene. So the main figure in the middle ended. Enda Kenny is gone, Mary Harney is gone, Joan Burton is gone, Angela Merkel is still there.
Eamon Gilmore is seen.
Eamon Gilmore is there, but he's probably, you know. Anyways, there's holding the, oh yeah, the central bank emblem is our man from Anglo-Irish Bank.
Oh yeah, Sean Fitzpatrick.
Anybody and everybody. In a kind of a caricature style, but like I say, unusual for him. It's not his normal style of painting, but yeah, he became so involved with the process that, you know, it was, you know, while, like I say, not a normal part of his work, it was something that he produced not for this, but something he did to, I think, exercise a few demons. But the last little foursome we have here are two paintings by Christopher Banahan, London originally, but lives in Ireland now, of Irish extraction. And we have his depiction of Maggie Thatcher, which I didn't find out till we got the painting, that this is Maggie in charcoal, but drawn on top of reproduction of hunger strike, H block hunger strike newspapers. So we have Bobby Sands repeated behind her, and then he has painted quite a kind of a good depiction of Maggie in charcoal. She should be turning in her grave, I suppose, being depicted on top of Bobby Sands. Yeah, you can see the headline through the charcoal: Sands in coma, nears death. So it wouldn't take a genius to figure that Maggie wouldn't be one of Chris's favorite people. And beside Maggie, we have Tony Blair in a kind of, I'm not sure what kind of a look he has, kind of quizzical. He's maybe wondering about the weapons of mass destruction. The title on this piece Chris gave it was "Where Are the Weapons of Mass Destruction, Tony?" So we have all little doodles, is the only word for it. Tony is very finely painted in oils in the middle, but then we have these funny cartoon-like doodles, almost like of an old treasure map, to find WMDs hidden in prams and behind screens and buried in places and behind trees. And anyways, yeah, so that's Chris's comment on the Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I'll finish with two of my own pieces.
A curator's modesty can never preclude him.
I know,
talking about his own work.
I nearly said last but not least. Last and possibly least.
Not
so anyways,
very fine works, yeah.
Two pieces in acrylics and mixed media that I did a couple of years ago, but they were appropriate for this. One piece called Liberation with a question mark after it, and this depicts Lindy England, I think her name was, who was convicted of abuse in Abu Ghraib. So, you know, photographs were taken with prisoners in compromised positions and just being treated terribly, with dog leads and things put on them and whatever. But in this case, I wouldn't compound the abuse by using an image of the guys who were abused. So instead, I've swapped them for a couple of wrestlers by Edward Muybridge. The same imagery that's used by Francis Bacon and other people in their work. He did this famous series of photographs trying to discover how animals moved, and humans indeed. So there are famous images of his with horses cantering or whatever to see, do they raise their feet? So they were early photography basically. But yeah, so so it's a nod to Francis Bacon and a comment on the abuse in Abu Ghraib at the same time. And on the left, I have my Did You Get Enough? Is the title of this piece. And it's a depiction of Saint Charlie Haughey,
mm-hmm,
with halo in place. And I think the image I worked from was during the arms trials, where I think Charlie had hurt his arm, so he was in sling. So hence one arm, but then that made me think of the one arm bandit. So I had the cherries from the I suppose the gambling machine imagery, and in the background on the left, you just see two kind of washed out figures, and they represent my parents, because the story goes, did you get enough? People always think that means brown envelopes or silk shirts or those sorts of things, but in fact, did you get enough was what Charlie said to my father when he was introduced to my parents at a do in Banasloe, when Charlie was told they had just come back off their honeymoon, and that was the charmer's question to my father, and I think we should just leave it at that. You know, a bit of an early kind of Trumpism, but before there was the internet, so so that enough said about that.
Yeah. Well, you've brought us, Dean, through an incredible narrative here through this exhibition, starting in the 1960s or even earlier, actually, up to absolutely present day. Is there something you would have perhaps wished, or perhaps wish might be too strong a word, but something you might consider people coming to this exhibition might have taken away, some sort of opinion or thought or a reaction, a provocation that they might come away with, thinking that this energy behind protest, and it's something we've seen here in across the whole artworks, is that it's a continuation. You know, protest or art, both perhaps never stop reflecting on contemporary times.
Well, I suppose it's a type of art that's close to my heart. So, provocation. Yeah, we didn't do it for the sake of provocation, but I don't think it's any harm if people are made to, you know, think, have ideas, and see that art can do that in society and perform a useful function. You know, it has all those other functions, like, you know, investment pieces or decorative or you know, whatever else art is for. But it also can, you know, in a lot of cases here, like, it can lead change, and be the imagery of dissent or improvement or advancement in society. So it you know, the artist performs a kind of an important role in that sphere. So yeah, if putting a focus on it is something that I've enjoyed doing, and it was certainly well worth doing.
So, well, again, Dean, thanks so much for talking to us today, the curator of Art of Protest exhibition, which was opened at the Galway International Arts Festival this summer. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mainbright.